Here are the processes. To have a unit of conviction, first you make a claim. So we might say something like, our computer system can increase your efficiency in your county department by over 30% immediately. That's a pretty big claim to make. Then you use the word because. Do you remember why we use the word because? Put somebody in a deep trance. People go on automatic pilot when we use the word because. Now, because, and we state a fact. So our computer system can increase your accounting department's efficiency over 30% immediately because we've done that for many companies and because of our particular microchip that we use. Then you say, which really means to you, which means to you, and you state a benefit. And a benefit, you might say, is the benefit to you is it'll save you a lot of time and a lot of energy there. You'll be able to get the information you need much more rapidly. Then you say, and that really means to you, and you state another benefit. And what that really means to you is a lot more money that you can save and an accounting department of people that are happy and are actually producing the results you want instead of getting caught up in the busy work. So what we've done so far is we've made a claim. It can be a big one or a little one, but we've stated a claim that grabs their attention. We've said because, and we've backed it up with a fact. And then we've sold two benefits out of it. In other words, have you ever gone to a customer and talked to them about a feature of your product or a fact about your product that you thought was great, and they turned it right back around and looked at it as a limitation instead of a benefit? Has that ever happened to you? Like you say, God, our program, we have microchip XYZ, and you know that's the fastest chip there is, and the person comes back and says, yeah, and it's also brand new, and I don't know how to use it, and they give you all these things. You try to give them a feature that would be a reason to buy, you know, in the weighing scale. It's like another reason to buy, and they turned it around on you. How many have had that experience? So what you want to do is you don't want to just state facts or features. A unit of conviction is this. I'll keep it real simple for you and keep it tight. Here's what I mean. You state a claim. You take something that is a feature of your product, and you state a claim. You say, hey, this is what we can do for you, and you back it up. But then you back it up with two benefits. So you take a feature. Let's say your product is more expensive than anybody else's product. That's a feature. Now, some of you will try and avoid this feature. I would not. You know it's going to come up. So what I would do is I would use that as a way for them to convince them, to make them convinced that this is the best product. So I might say something like, our product is the most expensive product out there, and it is also the best. Because we have spared no expense in producing the finest materials, and I described the because, which means to you that you're going to get what you really pay for instead of having something break down all the time, which really means to you that you're going to make a lot more money on your investment and you're going to get it back in a very short period of time. So do you hear what we've done now? We've taken a feature of our product or a fact about it, the fact that it's more expensive. We've made it into a claim of a benefit. We've stated a claim. We backed up with a fact and we've created two benefits to it. That's what we call a unit of conviction. Now, the thing that we add to it is we give them some evidence. In other words, we come back and we say, okay, our computer system will do this because of this, which means to you this, and it also means this. And the evidence of it is we've done it with this company, that company, and this company. Now, what you've done is you've got their interest, and now you add the permission question, which we've already covered before. And that is, so right now, though, my purpose is just to get some answers, your answers to a few questions. Would you be willing to do that for me? And the person says, sure, I'll be happy to answer a few questions. And then what you're going to begin to do is create conviction and say, well, in your opinion, do you feel like being able to save that much money and have your people be that much happier would be something that would be worth looking into or making a commitment on? And what you're beginning to do now is actually create a commitment. So to be even more specific, let's look at what we're doing then. A unit of conviction has seven parts. Part one, a claim. Part two, a fact to back up the claim. Part three, a benefit. Part four, a secondary benefit that really affects them personally and hopefully emotionally. Part five, we give them some evidence that'll back up what we've said. Part six, we get permission to ask some questions. And part seven, we start asking questions that by answering them, what the customer is saying to us is, yes, this is something I really need. Yes, this is a reason why I should buy. So the purpose of units of conviction is to create for someone a feature of our product into enough benefit that they tell us or confirm for us that that is a reason to buy now. Does that make sense? Now you're seeing some additional things here, and these are additional places to go once we've got someone in place where they're saying there's real value. But I want you to be clear on the seven steps. Let me go in one more time because I know we've covered a lot here in a short period of time and I've bounced all over the place. So let's get real clear. What's the purpose? You and I have lots of features about our products, lots of facts. If we sell features and facts, we will be ineffective as salespeople. What we must sell are benefits. But we must link the benefits so that a person feels like they're real, so they have conviction that these benefits really are true. The way we make them true, step number one, make a claim. Take some feature of your product and make a claim. And you can even take features that you used to think were bad, like how much it costs. So take a statement, some feature, make a big claim about it. Back it up with a fact, linking it with the word because, that's number two. Three, immediately back that up with a benefit so they know that feature equals. They buy benefits, they don't buy facts or features. And that way they don't have to make up in their head what it means. And what that really means to you, step four, another benefit. Back it up with, and the evidence of that is this and that. And then finally, you get permission. Say, listen, the purpose right now is I'd just like to get your answers to a few questions. Would that be okay? And then lastly, in your opinion, and then what you do is you come back and say, in your opinion, is this benefit important? Do you feel like that would be something that would be worthwhile for your company? So once they say yes, what have they made? They've made a commitment. And what you've got right now when somebody says yes is you've just dumped another bag on reasons for buying now. How many of these could you generate? And how powerful could it be if you were carrying around with you, like Santa Claus, a huge sack full of units of conviction that you could drop down on anybody's decision-making lever? That's what I want you to have. I'll give you an example. I used to market for the same man, Jim Rohn, his seminars. And one of the ways I used to sell effectively and persuade people was that we had a brochure, and we were selling a tape program. It had six cassettes in it, and it had a couple of workbooks. That was it. It was $295. Now, how do you walk in and sell six cassette tapes for $295 with a couple workbooks? And when it's the same material the person just heard? Well, number one, you got to believe the value is there. So you have to have enough conviction within yourself to pull it off, which I did. I listened to the tapes and I felt, yeah, there's only six cassette tapes, and if you measured those by cost, that doesn't mean anything. But value is what matters, not what cost is. And so I got real clear in my head of what those tapes could do for somebody because of what they were doing for me. So with that conviction, I would then sit down and I would do all the things we've talked about. I would prepare. I would prepare in my mind to meet with a customer by thinking about how I could benefit them, thinking about how their life would change, how I could make a difference. I'd try and find something out about the customer on the phone in advance or from somebody else. I would prepare because I knew what other people in the industry wanted and what they were charging. I knew everything, so I was well prepared. Two, I would turn on. And I would turn on the way to the event, as I've already told you. I would do these incantations till I was in a frenzy. Three, I would obviously make contact. I would go out there and be with that person eye to eye. And my goal in making contacts was always to see a minimum of four people a day. That my goal was to help four people every day, see them eye to eye. My next thing was, once I made contact, instantly I wanted them to feel I cared, which was absolutely true. So I looked for what I really, really liked about this person. Fifthly, I'd grab their interest. And the way I would grab their interest is immediately after talking to them, I would talk to them about the kinds of results that were there, and I talked to them about what they already were exposed to. What did you think of the seminar? What did you like best? And they would tell me what their interest already was. And my belief was, they won't meet with me unless they're interested on some level. Lastly, I would find out as much as I could about them. I'd ask them questions about their goals and their dreams and their life, and I'd pull out everything that I could. Finally, I get to this step, step seven. And what I would do here is, I have this little brochure. And what did it have? It had a picture of this product, and it showed there were six cassettes and the names of them, and it showed a couple workbooks. Now that doesn't seem like, does that seem like you, if you just saw that you would feel conviction that that was worth $300? I don't think so. So how did I do that? The way I did is I realized a piece of paper with a couple of little writing on it did not create emotional benefit strongly enough. And if all I said is, this is a great program, isn't it? And did that, you know, I'm not going to be able to convince them. So what I did is I took each and every item on that particular brochure, each tape, and I created two or three units of conviction. In other words, reasons to buy now that they confirmed for each tape. Let me be specific and show you what I did. I would go through like the first tape, and the first tape on there was something about basically managing your attitude, I believe it was, and the diseases of attitude it was, the kinds of emotions and habits that some of us have that destroy us from succeeding. So rather than just talk about it and saying, yeah, this is a really great tape and you'll find this to be very valuable, I would not tell, I would set things up. I would say something like, the most important thing you will ever do in your life is learn to manage your emotions. And if you don't do that, in your lifetime, every dream you have will eventually become something that won't come into reality. You'll eventually miss out on your dreams. And the reason I say that is because so many people think their life's going to work out, but it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't is these diseases of attitude stop them. And then what I'd say is, so the reason I say this is, by using this tape, what it could mean to you, and I give them a benefit, it could mean for the first time in your life maybe really being able to create consistent attitudes that support you, which really means to you, and I'd say, and what that really means to you is money in your pocket as a salesperson, because if you don't manage your state, you and I both know you're going to lose out, aren't you? I said, and I'd say, have there been times when you've done that? And I've gotten evidence from them. Have there been times when you didn't manage your state and it cost you money? And they go, well, yeah. How much money does it cost you? And they'd tell me, the best evidence is when the customer gives it to you because you ask them a question. And I'd say, well, my purpose right now, so I'm not trying to sell them. I'd say, my purpose right now is just to get your answers to a few questions. Is that okay? Well, sure. Well, let me ask you a question. In your opinion, do you feel that if you were able to consistently be able to manage these attitudes that have stopped you, that you would, in fact, be able to create the kind of results that you've always dreamed about? Well, sure. Then I'd say, well, in your opinion, and I would do, each of these are called test closes. The reason it's called a test close is I'm not saying, so do you want to buy now? I'm not saying, do you want to buy this or that? I'm testing. I'm using a barometer to see where is the customer. How much enthusiasm, how much conviction does this person have for buying right now? That's the whole purpose of a test close. The difference between a test close and a close is a closing question is a question that basically when the person answering it means they bought. A test question or a test close, which is your best friend in the world, a test close is an opinion-asking question. And you can make anything a test close by adding the words, in your opinion, do you feel? If I say to you, what should you do? That's a close. Yeah, you're committing for sure. If I say, well, in your opinion, if you're going to make a decision, what do you feel will be the best decision? Do you think this would make a difference in your life or not? What do you think, generally? Now it's an opinion, and you're more comfortable, and you're more likely to be able to give me some commitments. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Test closing is the single most important skill you probably have to know where you are at any time and to know when to close. Because as you'll hear me say several times in the closing section, how to close is easy. When to close is the real question. And if you know when to close, you're in great shape, and the test close helps you to do that. But let's come back here for a moment, and that is this. I would ask them, so in your opinion, do you feel? And I would ask them, do you feel it would do this and this? And they'd say yes. And what I usually do is you think of these as the claim is number one, the fact is number two, the benefit is number three, and the fourth benefit is number four. This is the most powerful benefit. This is money in your pocket. This is something that's directly related to them. So I'd say, in your opinion, do you feel, and I'd feed this one back, do you feel that making more money and having the opportunities you want would really occur if you were able to consistently manage your state through a tape like this? Well, yeah. And I'd say, well, how much do you think that would be worth in your life? They go, well, I don't know. And I'd say, well, and I'd use contrast. I'd say, well, do you think it'd be worth $1,000 in your lifetime or in the next couple of years? $5,000, $10,000, $20,000? They say, well, I don't know. Would it be worth at least $1,000? Well, sure. I'd say, really? Are you just saying that, or is it really worth $1,000? They say, oh, yeah, I mean, of course it'd be worth more than $1,000. So I'd have one tape now, and I have a unit of conviction that I'd pour over here that says, this tape's worth how much? $1,000 by itself. And I'd really get them convinced by them convincing me. And I'd say, well, if you use, and I'd run it through another one. I'd say, okay, well, here's this tape. You know, by using this tape, and I'd state a claim. I say that because I give them a fact. And then I'd say, which means to you, the reason I say that is this means to you blank benefit. Which really means, if you do that, it'll really mean to you blank benefit, another benefit. And the reason I say that is I give them some evidence. Or ask for evidence. Get them to feed it to me. Right now, let me just ask you a question. In your opinion, do you feel? And then I come back and say, would you get this benefit? In your opinion, do you feel you get this benefit? Do you feel that this is really a fact? As you get up here, somebody may start to give you an objection. But I keep asking these things, and I finally get up to the point where I've test closed enough that I know it's time to close the sale, and I'll explain how to do that. But right now, just understand these first seven steps and where they're taking you. This is how to go from a claim to a close. And the way we do that is keep creating more and more units of conviction.